Welcome to It's a Good Life, the podcast for entrepreneurs, where it's all about growing yourself and your business. Here's your host, founder of America's largest business coaching company, Brian Buffini.
Top of the morning to you, and welcome to It's a Good Life. I'm your host, Brian Buffini, and today you're going to hear from Dave McGee. And Dave heads up the Buffini Coaching Institute, which is the premier coach development organization in North America. He's an expert in not just our work and by referral systems, but also in the personal growth and development that it requires to be successful in business. And Dave has decades of experience in working not only with top producing salespeople, business owners, but also Dave headed up our coaching department for more than a decade. So he has worked with hundreds of coaches who've had tens of thousands of clients who've all had to commit to the process of personal growth. Benjamin Franklin said, if a man will invest his purse in his head, it's the investment that pays the greatest dividend and no one can ever take it from him. Personal growth is the reason I'm on this microphone with you talking here today. It's a powerful thing. And so today, Dave, it's kind of exciting that we're both kind of personal growth junkies. It's what attracted us to this business. And today we're going to talk a little personal growth. You up for that?
I'm up for it.
Our old friend Lou Holtz used to say, you're either growing or you're dying. When we're coaching people, what are the most common mistakes we see people with their approach towards personal growth?
You're going to hate my first answer, Brian, because you've put millions of people through goal writing at our events. And if you think about it, Zig Ziglar made a career telling people to write goals. Napoleon Hill, the whole concept of Think and Grow Rich was a definite chief aim. Earl Nightingale talked about the worthy ideal. Aristotle was talking about goals 2,000 years ago. And I think the number one thing that keeps people from really growing to their capability is a lack of clarity on what they really want and why they want it.
You've obviously seen this a lot of times. When the typical person comes to you, where is it? Is it like about, like they sign up for coaching. They're like, I need help, but they don't have a clarity on where they want to go.
Yeah, I think, there are common things. They think they know what they want, right? Like it's when somebody's just starting out in business, it's not, we've seen this over and over and over and over again. Our initial call with a client, how much do you want to earn? And if you ask any coach, what's the answer you get more than that? It's $100,000. And why, right? It's not about the $100,000. It's about the freedom people think that money will give them or whatever it is. And I think that's the challenge is a vague idea of what I want to accomplish, but not a real clear idea of what I want to accomplish and why. And part of it is because I think we're starting from our current reality. I know my current situation. I know I want it to be better than it is now, but I'm not super clear on what would make it better.
And so it's kind of back into the where I am consumes where I want to be.
100%.
It's interesting. You always hear, honey, don't get your hopes up. It seems to me that the majority of people live in that place as an adult, that they don't want to get their hopes up. And the where I am is speak so loud, and the problems of it, and sometimes the difficulties or oppression of it. It then gets into how am I going to get to where I want to be? The how just dominates everything. And so people end up in this paralysis. And even when they set goals, they seem to set very marginal goals that basically are just, it's kind of like, I'm going to tidy up the prison cell. You know what I mean? Like it's a better version of what they have. What is it that people are lacking in order to be able to get that clarity?
I think we both kind of mentioned it. It's this, I'm so caught up in my current reality that it's hard for me to see past that reality. So a lot of it's thinking, right? It's how I think. And I get limited in my perspective based on where I am right now. So my current reality affects what I believe my opportunities are. And so one of the things that we do in coaching is we help to try to challenge people's perspective. We all have a perspective. Our brain, we're bombarded with millions of bits of information a day, and our brain can't take in all that information, so it filters. You've long talked about the importance of the reticular activator. And the reason we have a reticular activator is so our brain can look for patterns and focus. And so we start to see a certain reality, and we think that's our only reality.
So when you buy a new car, you see new cars all over the road. Pregnant moms see pregnant people everywhere, those kinds of things. You've often talked about this thing called a roadmap, which I think has a great value to it. Explain to the folks what the roadmap is and how we use it in coaching.
Well, I think, the first thing we do is we help, we start with this idea of clarity, and we really help people think about the end. We start with the end in mind and work it back. And if you think about a pilot would, you know, when you step on a plane, you want the pilot to know three things. You want the pilot to know, you want him to know how to fly a plane, but you want him to know where we're going, where we're starting from, and then you want him to have a map of where we're going. So if I step on the plane and I'm leaving from San Diego, but the pilot has no idea where we're flying, good luck getting there. The pilot knows we're going to Dallas, but he doesn't know we're starting in San Diego, good luck getting there. If he knows that both of those, we still need a map. And so the idea of a map is that we start with an end game, your goal, and then we bring it back to where you are right now. So what's my current circumstance? And we create milestones along the way mm-hmm. that we travel down this road.
Well, that's what we need. And obviously, we've helped a lot of people build a lot of roadmaps. And again, sometimes we get started and then we don't finish. And we have a lot of people, obviously, in that situation a lot of times, too.
The second Friday of January has a name, and it's called Quitter's Day. And if you think about it, it's people set goals at the beginning of the year. By the second Friday in January, most of them have given up on their goals. And I think a large reason on what we just talked about, not really clear what I want, but I also don't have a map to get myself there.
So the lack of clarity then hinders us. You alluded to it. There's a kind of thinking that hinders our potential too. And we have to attack that a lot of times in coaching. What would you say is the most defeatist type thinking we come in contact with?
Well, I think it's either or thinking, right? I heard this one time, somebody was trying to give an example of this. There's a drunk and he walks down the street and he bangs into a telephone pole and he falls down and he gets up, walks right back into the telephone pole, falls down, does it two more times and then stays on the ground, says, "Oh my God, I'm boxed in." Right. And I think that's what happens when our perspective is limited. We see that it's either this way or it's that way. And again, you talked about it in coaching. What we really try to do is help people to look at multiple perspectives and then choose one that will empower them.
You know, you talk about the either or. Obviously, the opposite of that is both and, right? And to me, either or thinking allows people to justify their lack of success. So, for example, someone says, "Well, I'm not very successful in business, but I'm a good dad." Well, I'm very successful in business and I'm a good dad. So what are you saying? Are you saying I'm not a good dad? Well, no, I mean, you know, I work very hard, but I'm very ethical. Are you saying I'm not ethical? Right. So it's justification. Like, I sometimes have people even raise their voice in self-righteousness on the commitment and the sacrifice they've made to their values. You know, you can't be rich at home and rich in business. You can't be God-fearing person and wealthy. You know, a rich man can't get into heaven like a camel can't get through the eye of a needle. And so you hear these kinds of things and they become the justification. Now, first of all, I'd say that theologian, go study your scriptures a little more. You might need to find out a bit more about what it says. But the fact is, either or thinking is the limiting beliefs that we eventually turn into these prison cells and we make them comfortable and then we justify them and then we barricade ourselves in. And so we have to be willing to challenge our thinking. We have to have someone who challenges our thinking. Coaching is across the board a very encouraging experience. But from time to time, the coaches have to have adult conversations with people and hold up a mirror and say, "You got gifts. You got talent. You are playing so small. You are so okay. I have someone over here that's half as talented as you, making twice as much as you." Sometimes it's okay to have the adult conversation to help expand somebody's thinking to both and instead of either or.
Well, and I think a couple things are super important. You said the justification piece of it. You know, if you actually look into either or thinking and do a little research on the psychology behind it, there are frameworks that are synonymous with either or thinking. Either or fallacies and false dichotomies are two of them. And both of those allude to this fact that what we're really trying to do is justify our current situation. And then when we do that, we become very rigid, very resistant. And when we're in that place, we don't see all the opportunity that's available to us. And then from a coaching perspective, you said, you know, the tactic we use to help somebody choose a different perspective, we actually call challenging perspective. So while coaching is a lot of putting an arm around somebody and showing them what's possible, it is also, you know, the late, great Pat Summitt, you never saw her with a smile on her face. She was always charging somewhere, right? And there's a lot of that in coaching too, charging and challenging. Yeah,
yep,
for sure.
Fabulous stuff. She was a friend of my bride, the late Pat Summitt. So I mentioned when people set the goals, one of the reasons that goals die on arrival is the next thing they do is how. How am I going to do that? And we teach a lot of how. I have huge training programs dedicated to tactics and so on and so forth. So we love tactics. We're going to share with some tactics today for some people with some how-tos. But sometimes the tactics at the beginning of something can destroy it. Talk to us a little bit about that.
We need tactics, right? If you just, one of my favorite quotes, I've said it to you over and over again, is that tactics without strategy is a noise before defeat. It's Sun Tzu in The Art of War. Well, the first part of that quote is strategy without tactics is the slowest way to victory, right? You need tactics. I think the challenge is what you said is that tactics for busyness sake, it rarely gets us to where we want to go. So what happens to most of us is we get too focused on what's urgent. We become part of other people's agendas. And those tactics are not really tied to our long-term vision.
So we get into writing up to-do lists and checking boxes and, you know, feel that sense of accomplishment. But at the end of the day, we're just running around in circles. And so we got to start with this clarity. We got to challenge our thinking on the either or. And then we get really connected to the tactics as far as don't let the tactics dominate. If you already know how to do something, I'd say it's not a goal.
Right.
Like if you know the full how, that's just a to-do list. Like if you set a goal and you know everything there is to know about it, that's not a goal.
100%.
That's just a task. Maybe you can give us an example of this.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, so it is the stretch is important and also the purpose. So, you know, our system is calls, notes, and pop buys. We're going to call our current and past clients. We're going to write notes to them. We're going to pop by and be face-to-face. Those are the tactics of our working buyer referral system. And some people will get so caught up in checking off the calls, they forget the purpose of the calls.
Right.
Hey, I made 150 calls this week. Great. But all I did was leave voicemails, right? It was the strategy behind our system is contact, care, and community. And so, great. Did you contact people? Did you exhibit care? Did you create the sense of community? And I think that's a perfect example. Another perfect example is in the personal notes that people write. If you ever get a note from Brian Buffini, it's an impactful note. You don't just write a note for the note's sake, right? And some people, it's, there's the whole story in the note. It's not, you know, I'm just checking off my note writing.
I challenged our own clients this year. I go, you know, to you, we challenge you to write 50 notes a month. And so it's a homework assignment. But to the person receiving it, it might be the only positive word they got this day, week, month, or year. Like, here's an example of a tactic. Like, if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to take the time to do it, it's got to be meaningful. And so I will sit down with a personal note and say, okay, I got Dave McGee. And I write, Dear Dave. Or hi, Dave, or just Dave on the top of the note. And then I will ask myself the question, how can I make this guy's day? Or what does he really need to hear today? Or what can I give him that would be of value? And I just ask myself those questions. And then I almost don't think from that point on. I let the pen move. And as you said, when I write somebody a note, I mean, the amount of people, I've had people who are buried with a note I wrote them, for goodness sakes. You know, I've had stories of people who kept their note in the Bible every single day that they used, and their spouse's family read it at a funeral. And not to self-aggrandize, I'm just saying it's amazing how much power there is in a word like that. So we make our trip work for us, like we really make it valuable. So as opposed to just doing it for the sake of a tactic, you know, make it impactful. You know, we've talked about kind of like, hey, the lack of clarity, the either or thinking and the getting caught up in the tactics. I'd like to get to the happier side of the ledger here, kind of more aspirational. If we're going to get our head out of the either or thinking, what can we focus on instead? Like, where does our mind need to go in regards to personal growth and development?
Well, I think that the first thing I would focus on is really getting clear on what is it you want and why, right? Like, what do you really want? And take it a couple questions deep. So, hey, I want to earn X number of dollars. Great. What's important to me about that? What's important to me about that? You know, we just went through a coach training, and part of our initial call is building rapport, helping our clients clarify what they really want, and then helping them rough out a plan for where they want to go. All of that was modeled on how you used to sell homes, right? When you went into a listing appointment to sell homes, you got to the meat of what we're going to price the home at, you know, all the stuff you need to do. The first question you asked your clients was, hey, I'm waving a magic wand. And 90 days after the transaction closed, describe your life. I think that's the first thing, is really get clear on what's the purpose for what I'm trying to do. What do I really want and why? Secondarily, where am I starting from, right? I think that's where most of us say we're starting from here, and then we want to get a little further. We want to start from the end, come back to where we're starting from. Who do I need to become to be the person that achieves these type of goals? And that allows me then to build a strategic plan.
And we're talking about the subject of personal growth here. So, okay, guys, when are you going to talk about your reading list and what you listen to and what seminars you go to? I think once you have the goals established, then all of a sudden the inspiration take hold, because it's like, now what do I need? Like, I need to get my tank filled. You know, people who just do personal growth for the sake of it, they're kind of not revered in life. You follow me? They're seminar junkies or whatever, because they like the feeling of the positivity. I like the action of the positivity. Like, one of the ways to know you're growing is that things should show up. Like, your bank account should grow. Your waistline should slim. Your impact with people should grow. I mean, things should change. Obviously, what you read, what you listen, what you watch, all kind of critical. Who you spend your time with, all kind of critical. But it doesn't really matter until you know where you want to go. And if you're stuck with that, then part of the personal growth is to be around people who really do know where they want to go. You know, there's nothing like when you go and you meet with an on-purpose person. You go to lunch with someone who's on purpose. They're very focused. They're always walking like they're going somewhere. It won't be an overly long lunch, I promise you that. This person's got things to do. They've got dragons to slay. They've got a mission in mind. And I'm talking about, it could be the missionary in Uganda to the person who's a hedge fund builder. It doesn't really matter. If you don't have that clarity, if you don't have that both and thinking, if you're caught up in the house, you need to get yourself into an environment. And that's one of the things that did for me. When I came to America and I got exposed to personal growth and development, it blew my world up. And then, you know, I learned how to set goals. And then when I learned how to set goals, I had a place. It was like having a closet to hang all these clothes in. Like, here was the Jim Rohn clothes. Here was the Zig Ziglar clothes. Here was the Brian Tracy. Here was the Earl Nightingale. Here was the Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. Here was Og Mandino. Like, all of a sudden, I started assembling a closet full of clothes of these great Napoleon Hills and all these characters. And just over time, build up this arsenal of personal growth and development that changed me as a man, changed me as a person, changed me as a father, a husband, as a Christian, changed my financial status, changed my impact, changed my influence. So the key component is, once you have that, then you can really get into it. And that's where, when you get into that aspect of it, I think, along with the clarity, then you get some input, then the both and thinking really comes into place. And let's spend a few minutes on this both and thinking, because I think this is really, it's possibility thinking, it's expanded thinking, it's really, in a concrete way, it's a game changer.
Yeah. You know, you brought up the example of, I can't be wealthy or successful and be a good dad. That is not an uncommon scenario that we deal with in coaching. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times that situation has come up, and particularly with women. I have a desire to be ambitious and a good mom. And it inevitably gets to a point where there's a challenge, a conflict between the two, and it becomes either or. And so, you know, what we try to do is challenge that perspective. And so that's a valid perspective. I want to be ambitious. I want to give all my time to work, but I also want to give all my time to kid. Valid perspective. It's just one way of looking at the problem. What would the opposite way of looking at that problem be? Well, that I can have both. Okay, there's another possibility. What would two or three other possibilities be? And really, in coaching, we go, okay, share with me another possibility. And so we help people first to break out of this either or rigid, inflexible thinking. Is we want to identify multiple opportunities. And some of them may be ridiculous, but there's multiple opportunities. Then we get them to entertain those alternatives and essentially try them on. So we actually walk our clients through, okay, what would it be like if this was a perspective you looked at that challenge from? What would it be like if this was the perspective that you looked at challenge.
A great example, what you're talking about, a great piece of coach, I'll never forget it. And this client's been with us nearly 20 years. She walks up to me one day and she goes, look, I love my coach. And every time I do the things you guys ask me to do, my business flourishes. But I keep self-sabotaging myself. What's going on? So I encouraged her, hey, have these conversations with your coach, because she was in a big line. I could tell it was a little deeper conversation than I could have. I said, ask yourself and ask your coach to ask the question, what's the deeper issue? And so she came to her coach and said, Brian said, what's the deeper issue? I don't think there's a deeper issue. And the coach goes, okay, let me ask you this. What does your mom think of you being in real estate? And all of a sudden, silence. Well, her mom was from a different era. And she was a Betty Crocker mom. And she talked about 7 different recipes for her baked flambé. And she just, and again, not to diminish that at all. My wife's been a homemaker for 34 years. But this gal's mom was, why are you doing real estate when your job is to do this? So she felt like when she was being successful in real estate, she was actually dishonoring her mom and her mom's wishes. And then her mom would take shots at her. Look at your house. Every time I come over, there's laundry that needs to be done. It needs picking up. And you're not taking good enough care of your husband and all this kind of stuff. So she had this guilt. I know people are nodding their head. Listen to this. Because we all have these old records. Sometimes have been granted to us, sometimes given to us. So anyway, what does the coach say? How about this? Could you hire a house cleaner one day a week? You'd think she asked her to rob a bank. She, oh my God, I couldn't do that. What if my mother found out? And she goes, just do it. Just do it one time. So sure enough, she gets the house cleaner and she comes on a Wednesday and she picks up the place and does a bunch of laundry and does this and does that. And the next thing you know, by the following week, the husband goes, hey, this is great. And then she's like, hey, can she come Fridays as well? Well, in 1 year, that client, and she knows who she is, I won't mention her name, but she's been with us for 2 decades now. She went from $5 million a year in production to 25. Quintupled her business by getting a full-time assistant at home because she didn't have to find her identity. Now when her mom comes over, the meals are made, the house is perfect, whatever else. And the great irony of this story is that this gal's husband eventually came to work with her in a real estate business.
I love it.
You know, so it was full circle. But again, you know, it's that either or thinking and a record running around in her head, right?
Yeah. And it's a great example of finding an empowering perspective. You know, and as you're telling this story from a coaching perspective, this whole idea of identifying multiple perspectives, it's tough to do on your own. It's one of the great values of having a coach for that. Because from a coaching perspective, what a great question. Hey, what does your mom think about this? And that could be disempowering. What do you want your daughter to think 15 years from now? Right? And there's an empowering perspective will come out of that too.
Well, I'm going to move us along here a little bit, Dave. I want to keep this respectful to people's time. We talked a lot about mistakes and the benefits of growing the right way, but let's put it into practice here, okay? How can we kind of get going and like, okay, now it's the time for some proper how-tos and what people can do?
Yeah. So, you know, it's I'm going to sound like a little bit like a broken record, but I think the first thing is you want to start with the end in mind. I mentioned the Earl Nightingale quote earlier. He said, success is the progressive realization towards a worthy ideal. So you want to identify your worthy ideal. And the best way to do that is to carve out some time and get clear. For some people, it's journaling. For some people, it's getting a tape recorder and just, you know, what is it that I really want to accomplish? But I would encourage you, and this is, you know, you've done this for years with millions of clients, write it down. If you just think about it, you're not going to get clear. So write down what you really want to accomplish and why it's important to you. Identify the areas that you need to go to work on to get there, right? What's your starting point and what do you need to change? We have the benefits of our real strength assessment and coaching to help people kind of see what their natural gifts and what some of their defenses are to get there. And then I think you really want to kind of set an end. You've set the end, the worthy ideal. You know the beginning. It's where you are. That usually is a big gap. And so you want to narrow that gap by setting some milestones. So the perfect example, I want to weigh 185 pounds. I weigh 225 pounds. My first goal should not be 185. It's probably get down below 220. And then my next milestone is 210 and then 185.
And then how am I going to do that, right?
Right. And then you identify the actions that are going to take you there, right?
I'm going to stop eating sugar. I'm not going to eat after 6 o'clock at night. You know, I'm going to go walk 3 miles a day. I'm going to get an Apple Watch, whatever it is. Right, down into the details.
And now the tactics are serving you.
Right.
Right? Those are brilliant tactics because they're serving your long-term goal.
So that's where it gets down. Then you make the list of the things you need to do to get it done. And there's no end in sight to those things, right? There's all kinds of help out there for what to do. But why you want to do it is a key deal, right? It's like, no, I want to weigh 185 because I want to be around for my grandkids. I want to walk my daughters down the aisle. I want to not be at the hands of the medical profession the last 20 years of my life on medications and having body parts removed. You know, it's like, why? The why? Why do you want to weigh one? Because there's a reason why you weigh 220.
Exactly right.
Or 225, right? 100%. Zig Ziglar said, I never ate anything by accident.
All right.
Right?
Exactly right.
So that why has to outcome the other payoff, which is what if I don't do it, you know?
And honestly, Brian, I think that gets down to, so once you have a clear vision of what you want to accomplish, you will have to challenge some of your thinking. But then the ultimate thing is to put a strategic process in place, right? So because the tactics are critical. Without the tactics, we're not going to achieve our goal. And but I think the key is tying those strategic, those tactics strategically to the long-term vision.
Right. And we do that with specific goals, right? I mean, one of the things, the method we've taught for years is the 10-day goals, right? And that just becomes the to-do list. And it's like, we have them do it in spiritual, family, business, financial, personal. Five key areas, right? One goal in each area in the next 10 days. Spiritually, I'm going to do this. Financially, I'm going to do this. You know, for my mental health, I'm going to do this. For my body, I'm going to do this. For my business, I'm going to write notes for 10 days, you know, whatever it is. And then you've taken it out to 100-day goals, which is nice. I like that.
Well, I wish I came up with that. But, you know, you did a podcast episode, season one, episode 259, 100 Days to Change Your Life. And that really, I mean, that to me is the perfect example of a strategic process. It is, you've got your 10-month goal, your 100-day goal, those are the mid-range goals, and then the 10-day goals are the specifics. And I think, you know, the most important part of that are the 10-day goals. The thing that keeps you motivated to do those 10-day goals is the 100-day goal, right? You can do anything for 100 days.
Personal growth and development. What's it done for Dave McGee?
Boy, that's a great question. I have been a personal growth and development person for as long as I can remember. When I got into college, I had a mentor that said, you just need to read. And he gave me three books. One of them was Think and Grow Rich. One of them was The Magic of Thinking Big. And for the life of me, I can't remember the third one. But that started me on a path of just, you know, absorbing everything that I could. It clarified for me my vision, right? Like, what has it done for Dave McGee? It brought me to Buffini and Company, where I get to do a job working with hundreds of coaches who impact the lives of tens of thousands of people. And so I think it's kind of guided my vision. You said long ago that you can double your business at the same rate you grow yourself. And I'm living example of that. And I am also have witnessed that for the past almost 20 years.
Well, it's a good word. That's a good word. And that was a word from my mentor, Jim Rohn, one of the people who assisted me on my personal growth journey. I hope this episode today has helped all of you on your personal growth journey. I wanted to come from the very practical world of coaching. Dave's been knee deep in all of this for many decades. He's made huge impact on our coaches' lives and businesses, and then they in turn have impacted so many people. And it's a good life, right, Dave? I mean, it's a good life what we get to do, and I'm very blessed to have you. I hope this podcast has been a blessing to all of you today. I want you to know this. I'm a house painter's son who came to America with $92 in his wallet. Other than coming to faith and marrying Beverly Robinson, personal growth and development is what's done it all for me, and it still does it for me today. And I'm still growing. And behind me, I still have Encaro Imparo from Michelangelo, which was his I'm Still Learning. And I think it's a way to stay young. I think it's a way to stay fresh. I think it's a way to stay current. No matter what the challenge, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the market's doing or the industry's doing, you're able to stay fresh and grow above every problem and around every challenge. So thanks for being with me today, Dave. And we're going to finish up with the queen of personal growth herself, Ms. Therese Buffini, who's going to send us off on our way.
May the road rise up to meet you, and may the wind always be at your back. May the rain fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm upon your face. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. See you next time.